Jenny arrives back to the loft to find her parents post-coitus.
Yeah.
And is oddly happy about
it. Yeah, all of you should just, first of all, you have a room. And like,
but no walls, though.
But no walls, true. But like, come on, guys. Like,
Upper East Siders and all you scandal-loving listeners out there, you just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, where the coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve. I've been exploring the glitz and glam of the Upper East Side for the very first time. I'm the newbie, the greenhorn, the, I don't know, Leaf, what do you call the new kid on the block in Gossip Girl terms?
Well, I don't think you've quite reached Golden God status in Guitar Hero, so I think they would just label you as a project. You know, the girls have the potential to be a Blairite.
Well, then dress me up in an Eleanor Waldorf original and let's get started.
Sounds good.
So here's the deal, folks. Leaf has been living and breathing Gossip Girl since it first aired back in 2007, and I'm diving into the glitz and glam for the very first time, and together, we're your dynamic duo, and we're dissecting all the drama, the glamour, and sometimes questionable fashion choices of this iconic 2007 show.
That's right. Each week, we're going to break down all the schemes, secret hookups, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are plenty of them.
And since we're all about inclusivity here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, there is always room for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast table. So go ahead and grab your coffee, grab your mimosa, or some of Nate and Chuck's special medicine if it's that kind of morning, and let's get started.
All right, we're going to go right ahead and jump into the episode. It is Season 1, Episode 8, 17 Candles. Did you catch the reference?
Absolutely. John Hughes' classic 80s movie, 16 Candles. Yep. Another movie that I was watching at a wildly inappropriate age to be receiving wildly inappropriate messages.
Well, I would say it's kind of inappropriate for any age.
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic.
Yes, it has not aged well, like any of those 80s comedies. Okay, the original air date was November of 2007. The Television Without Pity episode description reads, Nate, surprise, disappoints Blair on her birthday. Dan takes Blair to Blair's birthday party, or Dan takes Vanessa to Blair's birthday party so that she and Serena will be bitches to each other. Jenny brings her mother home for a surprise visit, which goes horribly wrong. Nate's parents screw him horribly for the 8th week running.
It is the 8th week running, isn't it?
Yes. not a lot of pity from that old website.
To be fair, Nate and Chuck weren't in episode 5, so it's really 7 weeks running. There was a week that Nate got away from his family.
Episode was directed by Ali Chalet Chermel. She's a French. Directed some episodes of Arrested Development, Gilmore Girls, and 86 episodes of The Middle.
Yeah, which means she probably knows a friend of mine who was an assistant director on The Middle. One of my friends, Colleen, from high school. So shout out to Colleen.
Okay, well let's get them both on the podcast sometime.
Yeah, I'll try to reach out.
Episode was written by our friend Felicia D. Henderson, who most recently wrote the Poison Ivy episode.
Yeah, and we both really liked that episode.
That was probably the best episode of the series so far.
Yeah.
And the Gossip Girl opening monologue. According to the Catholic Church, mortal sin can only be absolved through the sacred act of confession. But it looks like a certain wasp princess has recently found herself desperately in need of a little unburdening. And who is the man upstairs to discriminate?
Yeah, I love that opening monologue and the setup for as a kid who was raised a wasp, mm-hmm. pretty much, who always had that like, wait a second, they can just like go tell a dude that they did something and then they're good. Like that seems like a really easy out, and I prefer easy to all this like thinking my dad wants me to do.
Yes, but of course, you know, if you really want to be a Catholic, you got to be riddled with guilt.
Yeah,
at all times.
Yes, which again, being a wasp, we know nothing about that.
Anyways, we open the episode in Act 1. Blair is in a confessional telling a priest about her limo sex.
Yeah. First of all, I love the Da Vinci Code reference. The movie had just come out in 06. Mm-hmm. And so the punish me, make me wear the chain like Silas. I love that. I don't think it's a fantastic book or movie, but I loved the reference nonetheless.
Yes. A little self-flagellation.
Yeah. She also says at least the guy is going to pretend like it never happened. Mm-hmm. And I love that because she's acting for this moment. And you see Blair remember who she is many times throughout this episode.
Yeah.
Who she... for a second has that step back. And so this is the first time that she actually thought of herself like any other of Chuck's conquests. She kind of referred to herself in that manner. And then when she sees him in a couple of scenes, she remembers, wait a second, I'm Blair fucking Waldorf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Dan and Serena are making out in a cafe where it just so happens Vanessa works. Awkwardness ensues.
My God, Vanessa, just stop talking. Vanessa, why are you bringing up the private conversation that you had with Dan? Like, why?
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Take a step back.
Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Oh, Vanessa, already on the bad footing.
And I was that first episode. I was like, where's all this hate coming from?
Yeah, now you know. The writing was just never there for Vanessa. She had no chance.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. Great opportunity for that character.
Yeah, it could have been a good character.
Yeah.
And in the books, she is kind of interesting. She's a rebel, but she is part of the group.
Yeah.
She's not just butting in constantly. Anyways, we see Blair walking out of the church and is confronted by Chuck in a limo. They argue, and Chuck is uninvited to Blair's party.
So yeah, the first thing that that kind of occurred to me there, first of all, the song playing was really cool. This is the first time that we hear
The Virgins
in this episode. Mm-hmm. But the other big thing was, like I said, Blair, when she sees Chuck and Chuck does bring it up again, Blair recognizes, for one, she's not just another one of Chuck's conquests, mm-hmm. and she's not going to act like it.
Definitely. And
takes that power back. Which, let's face it, is a big thing that I would assume is what attracts her Chuck to her. You know, he likes that this is someone that's on his level. And we'll get to more of that later on.
Yeah. Jenny arrives back at the loft with Allison. Rufus is shocked and reluctant to talk to Allison.
I didn't even realize it the first time. It was because you had mentioned something to me that they look so much alike.
Yes. Very good casting based on looks.
Yeah. The casting of Allison and Jenny, that is a mother and daughter. When I actually paid attention to it, it was
uncanny.
Yeah, it really was.
So we get that scene, but Rufus is still a little standoffish. You know, he just found out, a couple episodes about, the cheating.
Yeah.
And they've been fighting you on the phone. And, Dan overheard Rufus and Allison on the phone. And then Jenny overheard Dan and Rufus. Yeah.
And no one's talking to Jenny. And so Jenny did the thing that she thought was best, and good for her for going out and getting Allison.
Yeah, at least someone's taking action.
Yeah.
Blair and Eleanor are at the penthouse and discuss the captain being indicted.
Yeah. I know we're supposed to be really upset with Eleanor for blowing off Blair, and yes, Eleanor, be a better mom. Just be better.
Yeah. Just pay attention to your daughter once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you did that more often, this wouldn't have stood out, because this is your money. This is your business.
She should be concerned about this.
Yeah. You have the bigger stake financial claim to this problem. Mm-hmm. but do better.
All right. So we move on to Nate and his family talking with a lawyer. Anne was late to the scene, but quickly moving up the ranks of bad parenting.
So fast. And the way that they're both in such denial of everything, and how they're just assuming they're buying their way out of all of this. And Nate is
just listen to the lawyer.
Yeah, what about a plea deal?
What does this lawyer have to say that is an expert on this? But no, I can't be. I'm not guilty. No.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that anybody who, the captain knows that he's guilty. Like the captain knows that he's the one that did that. That's doing this shit. And there's no evidence so far that he's not.
Yeah.
And so it really is just. You have Nate being the grown-up, and the grown-up's telling him, you're just a kid, go relax. Yeah. And the best part is, what do they want him to do when he grows up and graduates?
Be just like dad.
Well, they want him to go to Dartmouth to be a fucking lawyer.
Yeah.
And the writing is there. Be a lawyer to help me get around shady shit. And do fucking shady finance business stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're already grooming him for that. And now when he's saying, well, hey, I'm going to talk like a lawyer, they're like, no, you're a kid. Get out of here.
Yeah. Really bad parents for Nate.
Awful.
So we get Dan comes home to find Rufus, Alice, and Jenny eating waffles.
Yeah. And, Jenny really, really jumps the gun here. Just get over it like dad did. Like, whoa, what did I get over? I ain't over shit.
Yeah. This is where it comes out that Jenny knows about the affair.
Yeah. And and that she overheard them, and that they were talking it. And Dan's response was great. Well, maybe we need to move to a place with more walls.
Yeah.
And storms off. And I love the storm off, because Allison immediately gets up, and Rufus is like, it's usually best to give him a while.
Yeah.
And you know your kid. When you know your kids, you know how to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
I know my daughter. If something happens that there's some kind of disagreement or something shocking to her or something, she's going to stand there. She's going to cry it out for a minute. and then she's going to get herself together and she's going to be good.
Yeah.
I know that my oldest needs to go off and just be by themselves for a bit. You know, like, you mm-hmm. know these things about your kids. You know how to help them handle things, you yeah. know?
But Allison has not been around, so she's kind of forgotten.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a tough moment there for Allison.
Yeah.
In Blair's room, Blair and Serena are discussing Dan and Vanessa's relationship, as well as Nate and his family. This is a conversation about how the best friend becomes the second best friend when you're in a relationship.
Oh, right, yeah. And the whole setup for later on. But mm-hmm. also, there is that room for your boyfriend's best friend is a girl that he's very close to. Like, I get that at high school age. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
To a degree. But also, like, you know, I think that Dan, in the last two episodes, has been treating her more like an annoying sister than anything else, too.
Yeah, and of course it is weird because the whole, the Dan told her that he loved her.
Yeah, like a year earlier. Yeah. And he said that, but at the same time, there has only been anything showing the other way the entire time.
Yeah. Rich Girls by the Virgins plays in Nate's headphones as his mom prattles on to him and tries to get Nate to propose to Blair. By the way, this is already the third song by the Virgins in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I was paying much more attention on my second watch through of it. But I was into it.
Good song.
I pulled a couple songs out from them and put them on playlists. So
nice.
Yeah. And there's also another royalty reference here. Another reference to royalty only. Is this where she says it changed zip codes or is it something else? Gossip Girl, when Anne is trying to get Nate to propose. Not propose, but give the ring. Mm. And she makes the comment about royalty again. There's another.
I missed that.
Yeah, yeah. Gossip Girl in that conversation brings up is that the one where she says royalty changed zip codes? I don't think it is. I think she said that in an earlier episode, but there is mention of it.
All right. I'll take your word for it. But yeah, once again, you know, bad parenting by Anne pushing Nate to not propose, but give her an engagement ring.
Yeah. Yeah, give her this family heirloom.
Yeah.
And Nate has the appropriate response.
Yeah.
This is a family heirloom. I'm 16.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
But that is the end of the first act, so we move on to act two. Blair is on her bed and gets a call from Nate. They discuss getting back together if Nate is giving her the ring. Who bought the necklace? Blair put on hold.
Yeah, so Nate says he has a big gift for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, were we too hasty? And she immediately calls and sees what somebody bought for her. And
yeah.
It's a diamond necklace. Somebody picked up a diamond necklace for her.
But we already know Nate.
That's not going to be Nate because he has a ring for her.
Yeah, so we will see.
Yeah.
Dan has a conversation with Allison and really unloads on her.
Yeah. And it's all of this is really a great scene and very cathartic for that relationship.
Yes, this is where Dan, like, Allison's like, I asked you if you didn't want me to go, but Dan's like, it wasn't my place to tell you not to go.
Yeah, when you ask permission of your kids of something, first of all, you know, and there are times that you need to. But when you're asking them permission to exit their lives,
mm-hmm.
that's a really big thing to put on them. You're putting the burden of you going away on them. You're basically saying, you said I could. This is you doing it.
And yeah.
And it's unfair to ask your kid that in the first place, because you're the parent, you know?
And Dan rightfully points that out.
Yeah. 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 Very powerful moment for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And spot on. Because there's also the whole, like, you think I'm mad that you cheated? Like, no, I'm mad that you abandoned my sister, who's a freshman at a school of horrible people. You know,
mean girls and date rapists.
Yeah, mean girls and date rapists. Yeah, I mean, like, it's so much more than you sleeping with someone out there.
Yeah. Nate visits Chuck, and Chuck is extremely nervous. Chuck is giving good advice for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, Chuck is being slimy. He's saying all the exact right things. And he is right on everything he says.
Yeah.
But he's doing it for all the wrong reasons. He was also, you know, horrified to even face Nate. He could hardly look at him.
And he, you know, you see him hide the necklace, or what we find out will be the necklace later.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a distinctive jewelry box for those who shop at that particular jewelry store.
Yeah. Although I do think that we have one of the most sincere lines Chuck has ever said here. And it's that there are three things in this world that I love.
Yes.
Money, the pleasures money can buy me, and you.
Yeah.
And he says it to Nate. And I believe every word of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I think Nate is his favorite person.
Yeah, you know? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really care for his dad too much, and his mom is MIA.
Yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't really look at women as people most of the time.
Nah, definitely has not had a real relationship.
Yeah. And here's this guy who always sees past all of his flaws, who doesn't need anything from him. You know, it's not like he's mooching off Chuck.
Nah, exactly.
He doesn't need anything from him. He's just a friend to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like an unconditional friend.
At Blair's party, drinks are flowing and merrymaking is happening. Blair and Serena discuss when Nate and Dan are arriving respectively. However, Chuck is the first to show up.
Also, when they're prepping that party, that sushi that they're laying out looked so fucking good.
Blair is definitely a sushi aficionado.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wanted to tear into that.
And I believe, like, it's Cottie's brother's restaurant or something.
I thought she said mom. Like mom, your mom's
or, yeah,
place
mom or bro-
is,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your mom's place mother. Is really good.
Yeah. We get Dan and Vanessa are walking in Brooklyn when Dan receives a text from Serena. Vanessa invites herself to Blair's party.
Christ, Vanessa. Vanessa, he has a girlfriend. Like that's a thing that happens to people. Just let it fucking go. And like, get over it and stop being too much.
Don't you invite yourself over to a party that, you know, to someone you don't know.
Yeah, this is not a plus one kind of party.
Set up your own date to hang out with Serena and Dan.
Yeah.
Make your own plans.
Yeah. Hey, you work at a coffee shop. Why don't you guys all, like, go get coffee there when you're not working?
Or, like, a walking tour of Brooklyn, you know?
You know,
bring Serena into the friendship.
Yeah. But, like, don't...
Don't insert yourself.
Yeah. Inviting... And also, Dan, like, you did warn her, like, this really isn't the party you want to go to. But, Dan, you knew what she was getting into.
You need to put your foot down.
Yeah. Dan really needed to put his foot down.
But I get it. He's 16, you know. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to say no to a friend.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, it's good because Vanessa got the introduction she deserves.
Yes. We get Blair and Chuck are talking out on a balcony overlooking the city skyline. Chuck reveals that he has real feelings for Blair.
Their chemistry in this scene is fucking unbelievable. They are so good. And the way that Chuck
gotta kill those butterflies.
Yeah. Yeah. And how she's just like, nope. And he's like, but here it is. And you can tell that she's not immune to it. You know, she has the love of her ambition of, you know, she has this, you know, Nate is the accomplishment that she has been working on all this time that she doesn't want to let go of, but she clearly likes Chuck. You know, she clearly has, you know, a this needs to go away attitude, but there's so much chemistry
there. Yeah. And Jenny bumps into Nate outside the birth outside Blair's party. Uh-oh. Do we see sparks flying?
Yeah. And I mean, I thought that they were very cute together. The conversations and stuff, the meetup. I really loved the, I mean, we know Jenny can never keep her mouth shut about anything, but she's like, I told Blair. And he's like, I know. It's cool. Like, the fact that she immediately was like, I'm not going to sit here and hang out with this guy without him knowing that that his chocolates didn't buy me, his chocolates that I didn't get didn't buy me off. but also his immediate response of taking accountability and being like, that is not on you.
Yeah.
You're cool. Like, no worries.
Yeah, definitely a bounce back for Nate this episode.
And that is the attitude I've always loved about Nate, is that Nate is not always looking to throw someone else under the bus to solve his problems. Nate will fuck up and try to buy someone off, but when he's held accountable, he takes accountability. You know, I always really appreciate that about my man Nate. It's a fist bump to you, Nate.
Dan and Vanessa arrive at the party, and Blair comments on how beautiful Vanessa is.
Yeah.
Oh, sweetie. He didn't tell me she looked like that.
Yeah. And also, the same time, Vanessa, like, you didn't tell me they were so nice. Yes, he did. He told you that Blair is a fucking monster and that you don't want to meet her. Like, Vanessa, like, you walk into this person's party who you're crashing her party. She's not thrilled that you're crashing her party. And then you're like, wow, you're not nice to me.
Yeah.
You're not very likable sometimes, Vanessa.
Vanessa. Back at the loft, Rufus and Allison continue to argue. Rufus agrees to give the marriage another chance.
Yeah, and Allison has that really fair point here, right? Where she's like, first of all, when it starts with her saying, like, I wasn't happy, and are you happy now? She's like, yeah, in some ways I am. Like I did need this.
Yeah.
And then she says that, like, you know, when he says you're not considering me, and she says, like, you're all I considered. Like, I put everything on hold for you to be a rock star, and then when that died down, I didn't know who I was anymore. And you know, that's all very fair. There was a lot of that when my ex-wife and I split. A lot of that, there was a lot of time that she had put into me that I wasn't putting back, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a very fair complaint. You know, I'll always say that my ex and I splitting up was the best thing for both of us. But, like, Allison has a very fair point there that, like, it also has to be her life.
Mm-hmm. Blair and Chuck have another private conversation. He uses his earlier conversation with Nate to poison the waters with Blair.
And yeah, which again, he's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes this bet with Blair, and he's like, you come home with me if he doesn't text you at midnight. To which her immediate response is no. And then when he pushes it, her face changes and she says, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. But the attitude behind that statement is really, I felt there is a large amount of, if you're right, if he doesn't text me, Nate deserves me going home with you. Like, then you are right. That this is where I move on, and this is where I go home. You know, that she kind of recognizes that if he doesn't text, that it is over, and it is her launching point to move on.
Yeah. And if you go back to the like some interviews with creators, the Josh Schwartz and Steffi Savage, they're definitely trying to play into that Cruel Intentions vibe, which is still very much in the zeitgeist at the time with the Catherine and Valmont.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so that is the end of Act 2. Back at the party in Act 3, Serena and Dan discuss Vanessa coming along. So they, you know, they have another discussion, you know, communicate.
Yeah, I actually have more Dan Serena communication, but I also have the note of more Vanessa not shutting up.
Yeah.
like just always has to say the wrong thing.
Yeah. And then we get an extremely long montage of Serena and Vanessa playing Guitar Hero.
Yeah, they really wanted to let us know that they bonded.
Yes.
And
apparently Blake Lively is a big Guitar Hero enthusiast.
Especially like back then when it was pretty new. I mean, it was a newer game. You know, the Wii was like the rage at that point. You know, everyone was trying to get their hands on a Wii, and then they had the Wii Guitar Hero.
Well, they had the Guitar Hero for all the systems.
Oh yeah, okay. I guess the Wii was what I had at the time.
You might have been able to just play without getting any additional accessories, like if you. Like Guitar Hero first was an arcade game.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
like,
that.
It was Dave and Buster and stuff. Was,
yeah, yeah.
But that, yeah, then it came to like PlayStation, Xbox, and Wii. But if you had it for PlayStation, Xbox, you had to get the guitar adapter, and then of course Rock Band came out, which was in my mind a lot superior.
Yeah, and I always wanted that because I wanted the Beatles Rock Band with the drum set.
I did have Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah, I wanted to play that so bad. I ended up playing the Rock Band. I ended up getting to play the drums on either one of those games only like once, but I never actually.
Yeah, it's fun. Then the reveal that Dan told Vanessa about his mom coming back before Serena. Once again, insert eye roll emoji. Dan and Serena learn that good communication can solve most relationship problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he told Vanessa first, but in fairness to Dan, there was not a great time to tell Serena.
Yeah, are you going to text her? The only reason Vanessa knows is because she was there him to vent to.
Yeah.
And because she's always around, because she doesn't go away.
She comes in through the fire escape without knocking.
Yeah, so she's like, and she's also, it's also reasonable to assume that she knows through Jenny because they all are just so intertwined.
Yeah.
You know,
Vanessa is basically part of the family.
Yeah. And, you know, this is also when Serena brings up what Blair had said about the best friend becomes the second best friend. He's like, are you taking relationship advice from Blair?
Yeah. And yep. Fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nate and Jenny have a heart-to-heart about fractured families, and Nate shows Jenny the Vanderbilt diamond. Jenny seems someone Nate can talk to.
Yeah. And they have this great conversation. They really, you know, they really have a... feels very innocent, despite there being chemistry underneath there. But in the end, when Chuck... Or when Nate decides, yes, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to, you know, stand up to my family. He says, if not now, then when? Which really, once again, we've discussed how easy it is to lead Nate.
Yeah.
And those are Chuck's words. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's using Chuck's words.
Yeah.
So he is being led. It's just that it's nice that he's being... It's nice that despite Chuck leading Nate with... ulterior motives, it is the right direction. Yes. And it is out of love for Nate.
Yes.
And it is the first person that's leading. Chuck always tries to lead Nate to what Nate wants.
Yes.
And you got to give that credit to.
Mm-hmm. Midnight arrives, and Chuck apologizes to Blair that Nate never showed up. Blair storms off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, she's going to be upset.
Yeah. This is the first time that Nate has never called up. So I guess Blair has a tradition of celebrating her birthday the day before her actual birthday, and like the party ends at midnight.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it looks
like. Her birthday.
Yeah.
And all Nate, but for some reason Nate doesn't go to the party. He just calls her
and texts her. Yeah, texts her at midnight every year. And also he texts her at midnight every year, but you're 17 years old and you met when you were 11. So he started this when you were 12.
Yeah.
You know, it's only been like 5 years.
Yeah, but that's a lifetime.
It is. That is true.
Yeah. So that is the end of Act 3. Moving into the epilogue, Nate and Jenny say goodbye and hug as friends, but of course someone snaps a photo and sends it to Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time in a little while we've had Gossip Girl actually influencing the plot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so. That this is the first. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's always just been observational, but this one is actually, you know, making decisions.
Yeah.
You know, decisions are made based on that picture and her post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone at the party gets the blast, and Blair is humiliated. Blair tearfully reveals that the breakup to Serena, and Blair says she wants to be alone.
I mean, Leighton Meester again. Like, she's a fucking powerhouse. She owns any scene she's in, and this whole thing, she can just fucking give you the emotion that you're looking for. That I, you know, that powerful person, but still a 17-year-old girl, and you know, just trying to keep it together. She played that whole part beautifully.
Nate tells his parents that he isn't going to give the ring to Blair. Howard is inching back ahead of Anne in the bad parent race.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least he doesn't hit him in this scene, right?
Again. But it gives him a serious guilt trip, though.
Yeah, well, and kudos to Nate, though, for holding his own in the end and saying, like, let's just hope they don't call your son to the stand.
Yeah.
Like, damn. Damn.
Yeah.
Get him, Nate.
Jenny arrives back to the loft to find her parents post-coitus.
Yeah.
And is oddly happy about
it. Yeah, all of you should just, first of all, you have a room. And like.
But no walls, though.
But no walls, true. But like, come on, guys. Like.
But yeah, you get the impression that that's not something far into Jenny's eye.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. Oh, wow, my parents are dead.
We're back to normal.
Yeah, we're back to normal. Clearly, my parents just bang because that's how they look after they bang, and I know because I can hear it through these walls.
So, you've never seen Dawson Creek, but it's famous in the first episode that Dawson and Pacey walk in on Dawson's parents, like ripping their clothes off each other in the living room. And that's just kind of their relationship throughout the series.
That's awesome.
Except for when she's cheating on him.
Oh, well, that's not awesome.
But she's cheating on him and also ripping his shirt off, too, so...
Yeah, okay.
She was a very insatiable woman in that first season of Dawson's Creek. That Gale. All right. And then Serena and Vanessa have a heart-to-heart, and they both apologize. We get some positive female friendship moments. I'm sure they'll be BFFs now. Drama over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clearly that has been wrapped up nicely and neatly, and it's going to be another 6.5 seasons of these two being great friends.
Yeah, supporting each other and everything they do.
Yeah, 5.5 seasons. But yeah, supporting each other and everything they do and never having a problem with Dan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But also, once again, Serena and the communication. Serena showing that, like, if we talk about things, we're not going to have those kinds of problems. That's always kind of her thing. You know, she's just really a really good talker and communicator.
We'll see how long that lasts. And then Chuck is in Blair's bedroom and gives her the necklace that she picked out. Serena spies Chuck and Blair making out and quickly closes the door.
Yeah. First of all, and you know, Robin likes to always pull out her favorite lines, and Robin's favorite line from this episode is, "Something this beautiful deserves to be worn by something worthy of its beauty," when he pulls out the diamond necklace and puts it on her. It's such a beautiful scene. And the whole, like, "I can't," and he's like, "Yes, you can. Like, you absolutely can."
I don't know if I would describe it as beautiful, but it was definitely hot. The neck kiss was steamy.
Yeah, it was. But I felt, you know, you don't see Chuck tender. And when he puts the necklace on, and he very tenderly, not aggressively, not even sexually, but still sensually, touches the necklace across the chest, you know, like, I thought it was a really nice scene between them, because you see this tender side of Chuck, and not, you know, not looking for a conquest, but like someone who really cares about someone else.
Yeah.
Still fuck Chuck.
And then the episode closes with a monologue. "Spotted. B turning a year older, but not necessarily wiser. Guess Chuck's the gift that keeps on giving. Blow out your candles, B. This'll be better in the dark."
Yeah. And now, "Spotted." There's only three people there. So,
seeing that gas girl might be Serena?
Episode one, I said Gossip Girl might be Chuck. I did say that episode one. Chuck is my biggest thing with Chuck is that Chuck doesn't keep shit quiet. But right now we have Blair, Serena, and Chuck as potential suspects. Serena could be Gossip Girl, but like, she doesn't seem like it yet, at least. Like, she doesn't seem like she's Gossip Girl. She doesn't seem catty enough to be Gossip Girl to me yet. Whereas both Chuck and Blair are plenty catty enough to do it. But
Serena's kind of an actress, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think she could pull it off in writing.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, especially because it's not like super deep writing, you know?
Yeah, just like quips and one-liners.
Yeah.
The next episode is Blair Waldorf Must Pie. Any predictions based on the episode title?
No, I do know that this is a holiday episode, right? Thanksgiving?
Yes.
So, obviously, you know, food is involved. And then a matter of, you know, I'm expecting we'll explore more as to where the Chuck and Blair thing is going. I'm expecting that we'll see a little bit more of, I'm hoping to see more of what's playing out with the captain and you know, Nate's family.
Okay.
As we said, I'm sure that everything between Serena and Vanessa is just perfect now, so we don't have to worry about that.
We shall see. So let's go ahead and move on to some segments. Trivia-wise, I already mentioned that they incorporated the Guitar Hero scene because Blake Lively is a fan of the game, or was a fan of the game at the time. And this week in fandom, I took a look back at the message boards for 2007.
Yeah.
We got you know, lots of heat for Chuck and Blair. Definitely some, the Chuck boys are out in full force now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some hating on Nate, not too thrilled with Nate this week and the past couple weeks.
And the fact that, and I saw in your note that Nate got flack for not, you know, more for Blair, but for not standing up for his dad, I think is really like,
it's kind of odd. But
Anyway, and also there's mixed feelings on Nate and Jenny. Some people seem to like it, some people don't.
Yeah, and there's the off-screen age difference that makes it a little bit uncomfortable. Which it's the weird thing about teen dramas, you know, that you do have adults playing teenagers and you have teenagers playing teenagers, and you know, it is weird, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're doing a show about 30-year-olds, if someone's 29 and someone's 38, it doesn't register, you know.
Now I know with the new Gossip Girl, like all the cast is like 25 or older.
Oh wow!
Because I mean, it was on Max, so they were allowed to get a little more raunchy with the scenes. So they had to make sure they cast the actual adults.
Oh, so the reboot isn't with the original cast?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. I have not seen it because it just got such bad reviews. But there's like a few references supposedly, and a couple of side characters may make some appearances. Let's go ahead and move on to some episode grades. This is episode 8, so I will go first this week. I'm gonna go ahead and give this one a B+. It was a little bit down from the episode that Felicia Henderson wrote previously, Poison Ivy, but it was still a pretty good episode. You had, you know, good conflict leading up in the party, and good Chuck and Blair scenes, and Dan and Vanessa. Their scenes were good together, even though Vanessa was annoying. Hopefully, this is the last of the episodes where we get the Serena and Dan need to communicate better. Hopefully that can move on, because it's been 3 episodes now. So you know, hopefully network TV can catch up with them and we can kind of move on from that. So we shall see. So yeah, I gave it a B+.
Yeah, I actually had it also at a B+. Like I thought it was a solid episode. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I really liked about it. I didn't love a lot of how the Rufus Humphrey, the Humphrey storyline played out. Like I like a lot of the things that took place in it, but I honestly, I feel like it was a little quick to just be like, yeah, let's just get back together. I find that is a little unrealistic, and especially in a show like this, it could have drugged, you know, they could have made it a little more drawn out, or maybe they'll go back to drawing it out, which will just be annoying. So in general, I thought a B+ was
all right. We are in the handholding club for Stockwatch. Going up, I had Dan, Serena. They went up for communicating once again. Hopefully, it sticks this time. Jenny and Nate found some new friends from among each other, so they went up. I actually did give Vanessa a stock up, even though she was annoying. But she did, you know, come around in the end, and they had like the good bonding moment with Serena. And then we had Chuck going up. Because he got his girl. He got the girl.
Yeah.
And Rufus and Allison, you know, they seem to be getting back to, you know, at least they're banging.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something's happening.
Yeah. So that is my stock up.
My stock up, I also had Dan and Serena. I've had Nate's stock going up for finally putting his foot down, standing up to his parents. Whether or not it'll catch this time, who knows, but you know, kudos to you for trying. Mm-hmm. Also Nate was up for having a really good scene with Jenny. Jenny's stock goes up for taking action with the family. And, you know, I may not have been thrilled with all of it, but her stock goes up for taking action with the family and having a nice, a good, you know, interaction with Nate there as well. My parents think I'm out with a friend. They think right.
Yeah.
It was very sweet.
Yeah, definitely. Anyways, going down, I had Blair, because, yeah, even though she's clearly attracted to Chuck, it's not what she was hoping for
at
the start of the episode, so she kind of lost, I think.
And that is a downgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Howard and Anne, worst parents on the show.
Yeah.
Down, down, down.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Blair going down. I had Rufus actually going down because, well, maybe quite literally, but I didn't love how he was handling a lot of the stuff in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair.
And then I had Vanessa going down because she was just, every time she opened her mouth, she just annoyed the shit out of me. So I had her stock going down. And then just like you, the Archibalds, the captain and Anne, just down, 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 down for being clueless, down for being bad parents, down for just being fucking delusional in what's going on in your lives.
Yes. So for best outfit, I am going to go with Blair's confessional outfit. She was wearing a pinstripe pencil skirt, a like lavender undershirt with a black felt business suit. And she had like a bow tie with a kind of another tie underneath that, like tied like a scarf though.
Huh.
I just kind of liked it. And it was kind of a little bit of a Chuck outfit with the bow tie and the lavender is very close to purple.
Yeah. 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 I can see that.
Yeah.
My favorite outfit was actually Vanessa's work outfit. The hearts, the top with the colorful hearts on it and like the three-quarter sleeve like leather jacket, like which she also wore to the party, but I really liked her earlier outfit. Thought it looked great.
Unlike the Humphreys, I think Vanessa actually is poor. I mean, she's like living without parents.
Yeah.
In the city.
Yeah. And like, yeah, trying to work.
So, yeah, I can understand her wearing the same outfit twice in one day.
Yeah. She is the only one of them to have a job.
Yes. All right. That is it for segments. We'll go ahead. This week, I'm just going to plug my Twitch. I'm on there usually Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then sometimes on the weekends, twitch.tv/hotcapicola.
Yeah, and you can find me on TikTok at Steve the Weed Wizard or on Instagram at steve.marchion, MARCHION. And you can also find me on Spotify as well. Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes and Amazon Music. Check out some of my music and tell me what you think.
All right. And if you're already following our podcast, if you want to stay in touch a little more, you can follow us on social media, on TikTok and Instagram. We are a Non-Judging Breakfast Pod. And on X, formerly known as Twitter, we are NJB Pod. And then on Facebook, you could take your own seat at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod table by searching for the group Non-Judging Breakfast Pod.
And if you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. We'd love to read your emails live on air. We'd love to hear your thoughts and get your feedback. And please check us out on Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, iTunes, YouTube, anywhere else that you're going to stream your podcasts. Give us a like and a follow and leave a comment. It helps with our visibility and helps us know what we can do better.
Yep, rate us and leave a review on Apple. It definitely helps with discoverability. Next time, in 2 weeks, we will be breaking down Season 1, Episode 9, Blair Waldorf Must Pie. But until next time, you love us. XOXO.